Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Brand new edition of Colt Gennaro Chat, a Saturday night show. We're going to be talking about the Saturday night fever at the Wanda Metropolitano, Robbie.
Saturday night fever, yeah, I like it, yeah. We're back, though. I thought when Alaves got the equalizer, I thought it was going to be another podcast of us kind of feeling a little bit lost as to what to say about Atletico Madrid's form, but they turned it around and ended up really convincing there in the last 15 minutes.
Yeah, it was a really strange game because for approximately half of it, Atletico were not good. And it looked a lot like the Atletico from approximately September through February. But the Alaves equalizer from Escalante woke him up. Really interesting how earlier in this season Atleti would have gone to sleep and would have been super frustrating. But they responded rather forcefully on their way to a 4-1 win. Their sixth in a row in La Liga. And they are entering the Man City tie unbeaten in eight.
Yeah, I think the Atletico kind of struggle in terms of different game states, we'll say. So when they go 1-0 up, they're not really sure what to do. Do they, because they're obviously a reactive team, so do they invite pressure and then make it hard on themselves? Or do they go and look for the second, which isn't what they're built to do? So it's kind of a tricky one, and I think we saw that tonight when thanks to another early Joao Felix goal. I think Atletico kind of looked and they're like they're not entirely sure how to play it when they're 1-0 up, and it's only when they have something to react to that they kind of know how to play and know how to interpret the game.
That wonderful Spanish phrase, interpret the game, right?
Yeah.
But no, I think you're totally right. This was a really kind of, in a sense, classic instance of Simeone's team needing something to jolt them to life, you know, and the Escalante goal did that. They go on to win by three goals, and there could be a three-way tie for second place in La Liga after Barca and Sevilla get through on Sunday. Another early goal for Joao Felix, as you mentioned. That's got to be, what, his fifth or sixth goal in the opening 15 minutes just in the past month, maybe? He's got a lot of them now.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. He strikes early.
And this one, just burying a free header. I thought it hit off the top of the net at first, but he just struck this perfectly. A bullet header into the top right corner, and a great assist from Shime Vrsaljko, too.
Yeah, incredible. Yeah, what a finish that was for Joao Felix. He couldn't have hit it any nicer. Top corner, and then got that early goal, and he has been decisive now for Atletico for the last number of weeks, and he's been speaking after the game here, saying basically how it's just natural kind of progression. He never stopped working, I know it's easy to say that now, but I don't think it was all that natural at all. There was moments there, and there might be moments still when it doesn't feel, it kind of isn't going his way. And I think the first 10 minutes he obviously got the goal, so it was excellent. But I don't know. I think he struggles to find his way into the game at times for Atletico, and I don't think that the environment is made out for him perfectly yet. You get like instances where the game is built around him, and we saw that tonight in the last 15 minutes where he just got a number of good chances. And when he gets you in transition, and when he gets you one on one out wide, it's game over for you. And he's so good at finishing, really good vision, he can take you on. And he went left midfield for the end of the at the end of the game, because Simeone had already made his attacking substitutions, and he was kind of left a little bit. And I was thinking, if Alaves get a second goal here, or if Alaves attack their right hand side, João Félix could be under pressure here, because he just has no interest in defending, and rightly so when you're that good going forward.
But, I don't blame him.
Yeah, no. And then Cunha just got the penalty. Atletico scored it, and then it was time for João Félix to shine again, and took the goal well, and well created the chance for Cunha first, and got the and finished it well, and was in the right place at the right time. And I think it's still a little bit sporadic, and it's still just kind of, as I said earlier, reactive. So, but when given the chance, he's that confidence is starting to shine now. Whereas before, even when the game did fall to him, he was rushing it, and he felt like he needed to do something. Whereas now, played a full 90 minutes and looks like he has Simeone's trust, and he just keeps getting better and better.
Both goals taken into account, Robbie, over his last 8 games, all of which have been starts, João Félix has 7 goals and 2 assists. Far and away the best run of form in his Atleti career. He played similarly well to this early last season before he had the recurrence of the ankle injuries and COVID, but yeah, there's no mistake. He has been, Dermot Corrigan tweeted this too, he's been arguably La Liga's top individual player for the past 6 weeks or so.
Yeah, he's been incredible, and definitely his best run of form, because they are still moments where he shines. It's still just moments right now. He's not like completely taken over a game, but that's just A, the way Atletico play, and B, the fact that I'm not really sure what B was, but A is because it's just the way Atletico play. Before it was like just kind of little moments, and it was like, oh, maybe, but there was no end product. I remember like when he went through that really good spell, he'd go on like a dribble, and it was like, oh wow, like that's what we're waiting for. But there was no end product. It was kind of like, yeah, it's still not there. But now he's scoring goals, and he just looks he looks to be taking it to the next level.
Yeah, can't really argue with this end product right now. He's been immense for Atletico in recent weeks, and it really does look like it's clicking. But you're right, there is still an element of this that is very reactive, and that Joao doesn't exactly know what to do when Atleti kind of sit back in certain game states like this one, because Atleti get the early goal, and around the 30-minute mark, the plan is kind of obvious. Get to halftime 1-0 up so Simeone can make changes or do what needs to be done. Alaves had other ideas, though, Robbie. I thought this was a pretty good display for them until the Suarez penalty went in. Very direct, lots of high pressing, good speed on and off the ball. This is how Mendilibar's teams play. And they get the equalizer, and as you said at the top of the show, you're thinking, are they really going to do this again? They've made such progress in recent weeks. What happened between the goal, between the first 2 goals? Was it a matter of just simply responding to the game state? Did Atleti look fatigued, rusty? There were a lot of sloppy giveaways in midfield and in defense.
Yeah, I think that they don't really know what to do. Like I said, when they go 1-0 up, it's kind of like, do we push for the second here, put this to bed, or do we invite pressure on? But Alaves aren't that good, so they're never going to take you on, and you're never going to get that many transition opportunities against them, and they kind of control the game in that sense. I think that the attack and the midfield was very disjointed. Which I guess comes with the fact that Koke wasn't there.
Yeah.
Llorente and Condogbia are both kind of more physical players than they are cerebral. Like Koke kind of can interpret the game and get control of the game, whereas Llorente and Condogbia are more energetic, physical, and I think that. I guess, and they did look good. I think I was actually watching, I'm sure we'll talk about Man City in a little bit, but I was watching, and actually against Manchester United, I noticed this as well, where they were trying to launch it into the corners where Llorente could run onto and then Versalco could join the attack and things. And I think that's probably where Atletico will get the joy, and if they do find joy on Tuesday night, that's where they'll get it. And I think that that's what they were trying to do. But when Lemar went off and Rodrigo went into the centre and Llorente went out wide, they couldn't get it out there. And it was kind of, yeah, the ball was just kind of getting bogged down in midfield. I don't know, Rodrigo kind of found it hard to find his place in the game. And yeah, I think, they probably got a little bit nervous maybe. And like, it's funny how we discuss these games, and we're talking now about a game that Atletico won comfortably by the looks of things. But there was one point when Alaves got their equaliser, when I was like, Atletico don't know what they're doing, and they have no idea. Even Luis Suarez was like egging them on to press up, and they were sitting back, and there was so much space between Alaves that were kind of well spread out, and Suarez is kind of beckoning his teammates to join him to press, and none of them were, and he kind of went to the goalkeeper and the goalie just kind of popped it over his head. I think it was like Atletico are completely lost here, and just an individual moment of kind of madness from Lejuene, was it, or
yeah,
that gave away the penalty yet for Ancunha, and the game just changed. But up to that point it looked like, I'm not, I don't know, and that's why I remain unconvinced here, because like a really, really, really good team isn't going to give away that penalty against a player who, I mean, it was really needless. He just silly or sloppy or lacking concentration, where he left his foot in Ancunha, where he was in a fairly harmless position. And yeah, I just think, when the game is like that and against a team like City, they're not going to make those mistakes. And I just wonder if Atletico will have enough individual talent and whether their system will be able to hold City at bay.
Yeah, if Atleti play on Tuesday like they played for a good chunk of this game, roughly between the 15th and 60th minutes, City are gonna have their way with them, right? City are going to maul them. So Atleti are going to have to be a lot tighter, a lot more compact, and react better to the game state than we saw today. But it was that kind of inexplicable tackle on Cunha in the box that really opened the floodgates. Because Cunha, all he was going to do was just go to the boundary, right? He wasn't really in a good shooting position. I'd have to see the replay, but I don't think there was a really clear and obvious passing lane. He just cuts outside on Lejeune, and he gets... they showed a close-up of his sock, of his, I think his right foot after, and there he's got a couple stud marks there, a couple giant holes like a moth chewed through him. And Suarez steps up and buries the penalty for his 10th goal of the season to make it 2-1, and then it's Alaves' turn to just kind of lose their heads. The wind really went out of their sails. Joao then tries to set up Cunha to make it 3-1, but Pacheco can't keep out the rebound. Suarez then makes it 4 with a really, really clever finish. Really hit it off the inside of his boot to Pacheco's left. Never had a chance. Just led him to the far post to make it 4-1. And yeah, it's kind of an unconvincing but convincing win, because Atletico really weren't great until the final half an hour. And it was that penalty, the Escalante goal and the subsequent penalty that Suarez converted that changed the game.
Yeah, and the question is, how much of this turnaround was provoked by Atletico? And obviously it has to be provoked when you're in the opposition penalty area Cunha provoked a penalty. But I'm just wondering how much of Atletico force this, or how much did Alaves kind of give it to them? And the problem with Atletico is that they find it hard to when another team is solid, when the opposition is solid and aren't giving anything away, Atletico find it hard to force the issue and make them make those mistakes. Whereas against Alaves, I think Alaves kind of handed it over a little bit too easily. Like, you know, they had the game in a pretty decent position. They were playing quite well against Atletico. The goal, just Rodrigo de Paul switched off. I just wonder. And once they got the second, then Atletico were just it was party time. But at the end of the day, it is 3 points, 6 wins in a row, and that's the other thing with Joe Felix. I feel like he is a big game player. I think he was born to play in big games and to be the man. And I think that against City, I mean, it's going to be really, really tough. But I also think that Joe Felix in this form and after getting those two goals tonight, I think if there's anyone right now who's gonna maybe do something against Manchester City, it's him.
I would agree. I think you're right. He has that kind of big game DNA, cliche or not. He really does. He talks about it in interviews a lot, that he likes these big games. He likes playing in the Champions League, and I think he will be ready for Tuesday. But who should be his strike partner on Tuesday? Would you go back to Griezmann? Would you turn to Suarez? How about Cunha?
Yeah, no, I saw that after the game. People were talking about Cunha and possibly sort of not. It has to be Griezmann, because what Atletico need to do is they're going to need that defensive stability and that kind of diligence, which Cunha doesn't give you, neither does Suarez, so, and Griezmann does, and that's something that I think that above all is necessary against a really unbelievably proficient Manchester City side. You're going to need that. It's going to have to be really, really well drilled from Atletico for as long as they're in the game, and as long as they're in the tie. It's going to be more about kind of trying to control them rather than trying to, because Cunha kind of he thrives in chaos and creating that little bit of chaos. Suarez is the kind of guy who needs that little bit of chaos too, whereas Griezmann will offer you he might not never be spectacular, but he will offer you a certain level that, and it's, you're pretty safe that you're going to get that. So and I think that it depends on what Simeone is thinking in terms of the midfield now. I don't think that midfield makes sense of Llorente and Condogbia. You need Koke, or maybe, Herrera might have done it, but Llorente is just not really a central midfielder in the kind of mold that Simeone needs right now. He needs someone that's able to kind of control it a little bit more. And I think that, it depends on whether. So I was actually watching City today, and what City do is they have Rodri. Now, I would be more than willing to accept that this is wrong, and that because I've watched them a couple of times this year, and I watched them today. But if they don't do this all the time, then I would be more than willing to accept that I'm wrong. But the Rodri drops in as what John Muller refers to as the elbow back. It is that third player in the build-up, and then Pep has two free eights, and because so De Bruyne drops into the number five role, and if it's not De Bruyne, then it's Gundogan who drops into the number five. So it's going to be a matter of, so you're going to have three defenders against two attackers, three City defenders versus two Atletico attackers in the build-up, and then I don't think Simeone's going to send another person up there to press three on three. He won't. But then it's a matter of who and how much, or how often and how with how much intensity does someone press up on De Bruyne, or does he sit back? Do they not go after him at all and let Kevin De Bruyne pick you apart from there, or do you go out to them and then they draw you out? This is the big question. And I would imagine Simeone will probably sit and not chase De Bruyne deep and just let them maybe pass it around and go out wide. And but obviously that's we're going to see how that all works out. I'm just saying, Simeone has some big decisions to make.
Yeah, the City beat Burnley earlier today by a 2-0 scoreline. Pretty easy pickings for them. Goals from De Bruyne and Gundogan in the first half. That game was over after half an hour. City, the issue with them is that they're really good, is that they are arguably the best team in Europe. They've won, what, 3 Premier League titles in the last 4 years, on track to win a 4th in 5, although Liverpool are going to push them to the end. And they have so many different ways they can pick you apart, Robbie. With Cancelo on the right, they had Phil Foden playing as a false nine several times this year. They do a lot of this damage without a recognized number nine. Pep Guardiola hasn't had one pretty much the entire season. And with Raheem Sterling, Riyad Mahrez, they have De Bruyne and Gundogan, who scored their goals today. They have so many different ways to beat you. It's such an emphasis on combination, associative play, and deception. So really, every possible combination is going to have to be combed through, and it takes a lot of details and a lot of work and some luck if Atleti are going to win this tie. But anything is possible when you get this deep into European competition, because it's such a short competition. It's not 38 games over 9 months. Really, anything can happen. If Atleti keep this first leg close at the Etihad, 1-1 or a goal either way, they'll have every opportunity in the second leg. But the issue is going to be how you slow down this humming machine that is Manchester City when they have so many different individuals who can beat you within a really well-drilled collective structure.
Exactly, and if you kind of keep it tight in the middle and prevent Gundogan and De Bruyne from driving straight through the middle and passing straight through the middle, they can send it out wide, and they've got Sterling, Mahrez, Grealish to take you on one-on-one when you've overcommitted in the middle. So I mean, this is the exact problem, is that you could close them down in one area and they'll just peel you,
they can beat you in another
I think, and this is back to what I was just saying earlier about how I feel like where Atletico might get joy is Cancelo pushing up on that left-hand side, Atletico winning the ball back and launching it straight for Llorente to into the corner for Llorente to go. And that's basically what Atletico have been doing in the last couple of weeks, and have been doing for a while anyway. So I think that kind of, it makes sense that that's probably where they'll target. And but yeah, it's like you said. I mean,
it's pick your poison. Yeah. It really is pick your poison
because also Pep Guardiola has so many options. He might not even play. You don't know who he's going to play in any position. Sterling was on the right today, and then Mahrez didn't play, and Grealish played. I don't know if Grealish will play. Foden played, but when you say it was 2-0 and after half an hour it looked like it was over, but Burnley did come into it and got a couple of chances. It wasn't, and it was funny because Guardiola only made 2 changes. He took Foden off with a half an hour to go, and then he took De Bruyne off with about 12 minutes to go. So I don't think he was, maybe that was a plan. Maybe he didn't want to kind of, he wanted them to go into this game on Tuesday with their kind of engines firing or something, but because he didn't rest anyone, or he didn't ring the changes and with a half an hour to go. And Burnley did have chances, and I don't think they had a goal ruled out, but they definitely did have chances. There was a couple that I saw where I was like, this actually isn't as convincing. No, it is on the ball. They look incredible, but I think Atletico might be able to get at them if everything goes their way.
It's hard to really say City are vulnerable or soft anywhere, because you look around this squad and they have a lot of different options, as we've been saying. But, you know, there are these pockets of games where City just inexplicably do not score, where they'll have like 75% possession and 19 shots and they just will not score. Crystal Palace seemed to frequently do that to them. And it was Guardiola's substitution patterns are always interesting because he didn't make any changes in the game at Palace before the international break. And he made, what, only two here against Burnley? Meanwhile, Simeone was very aggressive, taking off Lema and Lodi at halftime. He used all of his substitutions. He threw on Suarez on the hour. Cunha came on with 20 minutes to go, just fresh off an injury. So Simeone was very aggressive in both trying to get this result on Saturday and making sure he has enough fresh charges for Tuesday. I thought the Lema and Lodi changes were pretty refreshing from Simeone, because in the past he would have played those guys another 60 into the 60th minute, 70th minute or longer, and trying to have something in reserve for City, especially with Yannick Carrasco still suspended, I think that's going to be very important. Where City could be vulnerable is at the back. It's possible that Ruben Diaz is going to be out. John Stones may not play either Tuesday, and Ederson is a pretty good goalkeeper. I wouldn't say he's one of the best in the world, but he's, for City's style of play, he's definitely a good Guardiola keeper. But Atleti, if they press intelligently and they connect well in the final third around the penalty area, they could challenge City's defense. And with Joao's increasingly good record in big games, it only takes one moment to change an entire 180-minute tie around. So we'll see.
No, definitely, and I think Simeone has got that. I'm not ruling out the fact that he has some kind of black magic that he calls upon for these games, so I'm not ruling that out, and I think this is the beauty of the Champions League, and this is the frustration too for many of the better teams in it, and that the best team doesn't always win it. It's the team that performs on the day and gets the results, like as we saw, Real Madrid won 3 in a row, and I doubt many people would tell you that they were the very, very best team.
Yep.
In it all those years. So I do think, like you said there, the where City might be vulnerable is at the back, and in those spaces where when Joao Cancelo, and using their aggressiveness and their high line against them, and with a player like Marcos Llorente, and I would imagine this is why he was subbed off tonight, is because it's all going to rest on him, basically. He's going to have to stretch the Man City.
Yep.
get down into that right-hand, Atletico's right-hand, that right-hand corner. It's going to rest on him, getting in behind Joao Cancelo, maybe conditioning the game and maybe conditioning Joao Cancelo and the defence to force City to think about that and constantly have to think about that, rather than just going all out and not really having anyone to be too concerned about. But if they have to watch Llorente, and if Llorente gets a run down that right hand side, that's where they will create problems, and it could open up the game a little bit for Atletico. But it's a potential weakness for City, but I wouldn't call it a complete weakness or anything. Like, it's not that big of a problem for them.
It's a team that doesn't have very many weaknesses. That's why Vrsaljko needs to start again on Tuesday. Not only did he have a really good game Saturday, he won 8 headers, very strong and sturdy defensively, and the assist for Joao Felix's first goal. Because just having really any warm body at right back will allow Llorente the space to roam, right? The space on the inside right of midfield to be really direct, to just sprint endlessly up and down the boundary, and really cause problems, stretch City's defense and cause problems.
Yeah, exactly. And I think Vrsaljko does a good job. He's kind of learned a role in that he knows now, if you watch him, he knows he's much more thoughtful now as to when he does push forward and when he doesn't, and it's not like kamikaze stuff anymore. It's quite measured in his runs forward, and he's after building up a decent partnership with Llorente after the loss of Trippier. But that assist for the goal was lovely, but at the same time, it was from that side where Alaves' goal came from. Now I understand that Rodrigo De Paul just switched off in the penalty area. I I'd have to watch it back again, but I can't understand what happened there. But yeah, Vrsaljko is good, and he has improved massively, and I think that we probably forgot or failed to give him the credit he was due. Like, he's a Croatian international, played in, he was on that World Cup finalist side, and just really good right back, and just fell out of favour with Simeone for some reason, and now out of necessity than anything else, he's been brought back in, and he's been absolutely excellent. So I think he can be really good, but he does still have those moments where like a player like Grealish or someone like that, or Sterling, or someone whose movement is really good, could cause him all sorts of problems.
Oof, yeah, no shortage of things to look out for on Tuesday. What else do we have to discuss from this game, or from the City tie, the first leg at the Etihad?
I think what I liked tonight was the fact that Cunha came back and looked. I don't think he'll start, and I think it does have to be Griezmann 100%, but I thought he definitely offered something different off the bench. And if Atletico maybe with 10 or 15 or 20 minutes to go, and Simeone is feeling kind of frisky, he might be able to bring Cunha on, and like, the pass for Suarez's goal tonight was excellent.
Yeah,
really good movement. There was a couple of good runs before that, during his cameo, he obviously made the run for the goal and he does inject a little bit of chaos into the game, where Atletico, for an Atletico side who seriously lack that kind of pace changer or someone to kind of do something a little bit unpredictable.
Cunha is really like the king of the instant impact, because his agility, his verticality, his vision, his speed, they really do inject sufficient chaos into the game to provoke stuff like the penalty tonight that Suarez converted, and he nearly scores from the Joao Felix pass before setting up Suarez for the fourth goal. He's really so productive in relatively limited minutes. I just wonder, extrapolated over a full season, if he were a routine starter, what his numbers would look like, because per 90, they're insane.
And I think that he's definitely an option when they're coming to build a squad next season, and they're thinking about like a starting 11. I think he definitely has to come into consideration. I think Atletico have a really weird squad at the moment, in that not weird, but like Angel Correa has just kind of fallen off. I don't know where Griezmann would fit in a fully functioning attacking side now. I say that Griezmann starts for the City game because of what he offers defensively. But if you were looking at to go and properly hurt a team, I think you might start Cunha and João Felix after, given the connection they seem to have and showed tonight again. And I think starting next season, I think Cunha is definitely someone who I'd be putting into my starting 11, just to see what he can do, and he's kind of like a little bit like someone like En-Nesyri or someone like that, but he presses loads, he can stretch a defence, he's fast, and I think he could definitely get you double digit goals if you played him consistently.
I wonder if he's really the solution to this number 9 problem Atletico seem to think that they have. We've seen the rumors about Lautaro Martinez and several other guys, but mostly Lautaro in recent days. I don't wonder if he's just simply the solution right there, if he's not the number 9 of the future, post-Suarez and just after this season. I wonder if he really is the... Because he has all the qualities. He's become a better finisher, and he's got all the other... tangibles and characteristics of a modern 9, and it's really happened fast for him.
I wonder what I think this season for Atletico has turned out fine, in that they're on a winning streak now and into the quarterfinal of Champions League, and looks like they're going to make top 4 again. But it was really, really disappointing for Atletico, given the fact that at the start of the season we were talking about them maybe kind of building a dynasty here and finally cracking the Real Madrid, Barcelona duopoly for an extended period of time. Like, we thought they might go on a run and win maybe two or three La Liga titles, and to have fallen off so badly so early and to never really recover. I think Atletico and Suarez will be gone and Herrera's going, and I think my dates are all messed up, but like, last season was a bit weird after coming out of the COVID and things like that, and whereas this summer it feels like there's a little bit of stability left there's a little bit of stability now in terms of teams planning going forward, because before it was like, oh well, we don't know what's going to happen and we're not entirely sure, or they were just recovering from COVID effects, or else they were and the season before that was just crazy. So I think this is the first season where it's like, right, we can now bank on this, and so they're going to be getting rid of Suarez, Herrera's going, and yeah, I just wonder so I would say Simeone will go away and have a proper think to himself now, and obviously he kind of did that last season, it didn't work out, and like we discussed for a long time on this podcast, it just never really felt authentic to him what they were trying to do, whereas now this actually feels like something Atletico, this feels like a proper Atletico side. Now, having said that, is it sustainable for a season, and can you evolve from here while maintaining the structure of this kind of base? So it's still a 4-4-2, Llorente on the right, Joao Felix up front with someone, like, is there room to grow within this version of the 4-4-2? And if Simeone stays, if they think this is the way forward, this 4-4-2, what's it made up of? Does Koke still start? Will they actually go out and just been trying to buy a number 9 and actually buy a proper number 5 who can replace finally Partey and Rodri after they left? Because that's pretty much been the basis of the whole problem for Atletico.
So yeah, they need one of those
as they try to evolve away from into this new kind of era. So there's loads of questions to be asked, and I think it's going to be really interesting this summer.
Well, before we get there, we still have 8 more league games and this Champions League quarterfinal. Top 4 is, would you say it's wrapped up now, Robbie? I mean, 6 straight wins in La Liga, at least temporarily, 7 points clear of Betis in 5th. Is it practically done now?
Yeah, I feel like that. Because it feels like once Atletico kind of got their noses in front, the pressure was then on Real Betis to do something. Whereas the natural order of things is probably what it looks like right now. And I think that's... as in the top 4, not the order of the top 4, but the top 4, that's probably the order of it, and now it's all on Betis to pick themselves up after having such a fine season and go for the next 8 games. I feel like that's more difficult for them to do than it is for Atletico to maintain this little bit of momentum.
Yeah, and as we've said, 6 consecutive wins. This is Atleti's longest winning streak in La Liga for about a year and a half, I think, since last November, December, when they had that lengthy winning streak. They had 2 8-game winning streaks the first half of last season. Hard to argue with entering the City tie in this run of form. And we'll see what happens Tuesday. It's going to be a great one. The Spanish and English champions in the quarterfinals of the European Cup. That's really how it should be, Robbie. The champions of 2 of the top domestic leagues in Europe going at it.
Yeah, it should be very, very interesting.
Kind of old school in that regard. First ever meeting in an official competition between Atleti and City, and we will be here to talk all about it, won't we?
Yep, Nick, on Tuesday night.
You better believe it. In the meantime, that'll just about do it for this edition of Colchonero Chat. We want to thank you all very much for listening and for your continued support. Keep it on social media and on intothecalderon.com, in addition to patreon.com/cultneurochat, where you get bonus content and other audio exclusives. In addition, make sure you subscribe to the Atletico Madrid Podcast Network on Spotify. You can listen to all new and recent episodes of cultneurochat, as well as our sister show, the Partido a Partido Podcast. Thank you all again, and we'll chat with you next week. Adios.